Good morning, Spruce Lake family. We have made another summer. Those of you that are here just once, welcome. Those of you who are here all summer, you might pick up some themes as we go through this morning, and you probably have heard my update before, but there are people here this morning that would like to know how Spruce Lake is alive and well, because we are. This is the last time I'm going to give this message from up here, because COVID's over in my mind, and God has moved us on and has set us up to minister to the next generation of people, despite the best efforts of that disease to take any one of us. The reality of it is we had a tough 2 years. And those of you that haven't heard it before, I'm going to give you two statistics. In the heart of it, we were down to about 16 staff from 170. Summer's about 170, winter's 100, so if you, worst case scenario, we had a bad winter. Economically, we were left with less than 20% of any of our operating revenue. That put aside, we're still here. We hated the phrase, stand down and wait. Just wait. Give it more time. Isolate a little more. And I hate to wait worse than most people, because I am a type A driven person, and any of you that know me well says sitting still is not my best gift. So it was a tough 2 years. But in the waiting, thanks Merle for the laughter, appreciate it, knowing me well. He laughed extra hard. Oh, him too, yeah. The reality is, in the waiting, sometimes you get to see God work. And in fact, we watched God move mountains right in front of us. As deadlines came in our financial picture, answers were received. As asks went out, you folks responded. So I told you I'd give you statistics at the front, and I'll give you some at the end. Our financial picture is restored 100% to pre-pandemic levels. No increased debt. In fact, we just paid off some debt. God is incredible to take all of that and do what he did. And everybody's like, that was great. You guys did awesome. Guys, we didn't do nothing but wait. And every time God told us to move, we moved. And he did it, he did the rest. So indeed, he moved all the mountains, and we are restored and here today and moving forward for the future. Guests returned. As you guys could tell this weekend, it's full. We're just under about 90% of normal. Pine Brook is over their 2019 levels by a lot. The reality of it is God restored the guests as well, including you guys, to come back. We're looking ahead. 2023 is our 60th year, and we're going to celebrate because we're here. And we're not going to celebrate just by saying, wow, look back, but we're going to celebrate by building a new youth campus out at Wilderness Camp so that we can do youth ministries 12 months out of the year. We started a cabin project in 2019 that got stopped in its tracks. But you folks have said, please start that again. And we are. In fact, we had a win this week on our cabin project. Steve, I don't see him in the room, but Steve Eichemann runs our facilities plant. Oh, he is in the room. Hello, Steve. And Steve and I had a very hard month in the month of August because we failed our sewer system test, which is our final month to be approved for DEP changes to our plant to accept cabins. And we tested again, and we passed. And we tested again, and we failed. And we tested again, and again, and again, because we're allowed an average of the month. Steve has lived in the sewer plant for the month of August. He's smiling. It's his happy place. The reality of it is, Steve, what was the final number?
The average was 18.75.
And we need a what?
20
18.75 as of Thursday this week. Steve and I were texting at night one night. It was late, probably around 9:30, and he couldn't give me the answer I was asking for, and he says, sorry, you're not going to sleep tonight. And I said, yes, I am. I'll sleep fine. He goes, yeah, right. God is even answering the prayers for the future. As we look towards celebrating 60 years, and as we look for revamping the youth ministries to reach another 2,000 kids a year, please be with us and pray. There's a lot of work to do, a lot of hurdles to get over. Ministry's harder than it was a few years ago. And we just need to do it because God sustained us for just this time. And we're not going to stop. And if you'd pray with us that we'd keep going, that'd be great. Enough of the update. God gets all the glory for that, and we're here. Our theme this year is based on abiding. And those of you that have been hanging around for the summer, our seasonal campers, we've heard 12 or 13 messages on abiding in Christ. So you might hear some themes pop up from other sermons. That's okay. I'm summarizing them all for those of that are just here today. You're going to get 13 in one. We'll be here till about 1:30. Nope, promise that's not going to happen. My niece decided to get married this afternoon in south of Harrisburg at 3:30. You will not see me long today because she will kill me if I'm not there. She worked here for 4 years, and she knew exactly what she was doing scheduling today, and she apologized when she sent the date out. But we're going. But we've been living this abiding, and I'm going to add a word to abiding this morning that is not so much fun. We're mature believers in this room. We know who Christ is. If you don't, it's time to find out who he is. But we're going to talk like we know him, and we're going to talk like we're mature because we're going to change abiding to striving or holding on to or grappling with the more tough terms of abiding. Abiding is nice and soft, and we're going to talk about it a little. Our theme this summer was out of John 15, and I'm going to read it for you, about 12 verses of John 15. I am the true vine. The Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away, and the branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that they may bear more fruit. You are already made clean by the word which I have spoken in you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as the branches wither and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you will, and it'll be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. It's a tremendous passage. If you sit with it like 14 weeks like we have this year, it starts to resonate with you that abiding is indeed a simple thing of just being close to Christ. However you get close to Christ, it's doing that. It's being there. Abide, to bear patiently, to wait, to accept without objection, particularly like this one. Remain stable or fixed in a place. More waiting. But the reality of it is our culture hates to abide anything. And I'm going to challenge us. I think our churches hate to abide anything. If you watched how our churches did COVID, I think we got a C- at best. We had fights. We had divisions. We had arguments. It wasn't great. But it's not unusual for our culture. Do you know what the average length of employment at a single employer is in our culture? 4.1 years. Really? You barely figure things out by then. Secondly, you want to hear the worst statistic I brought for you? What's the average length of an American marriage? Average now. Some of us made it a few more years than this. 8.2 years. Abiding is not in our culture. We haven't been trained it. Matter of fact, we're told to run from pain. We're told to run from anything that's difficult. And that's just not what grows us. That's not who God told us to be. The Bible uses a couple different words for abiding. One's Greek and one's Hebrew. The Greek word basically talks about abiding in one place, but the Hebrew word talks about abiding in a family or in a dwelling place with others, staying put in that dwelling place. I love that one. The Hebrew word is much more relational. It's much more being with Christ, and I stuck with it. Although this passage is written in the Greek, those of you that are scholars know that. I was corrected on that once when I said it to a staff meeting, so I'll be corrected again. I like the Hebrew word better. It talks about the relational aspects of us with Christ. So when you get to this abiding spot, abiding in Christ is just this, and I'm going to read a current author's description. Abiding in Christ is the key to salvation and developing a strong relationship with God. One abides with Christ primarily by being in proximity with him through fellowship and by being sustained by him while partnering with his work for the kingdom of God. Believers strive to be steadfast and faithful in the relationship while partnering with the Lord for his glory. Abiding in Christ is our salvation. And that is a soft way of saying, be with him, work with him, work in his ministries, work in his churches, be part of what he's doing. Philippians 3, which was shared once this summer, says it a little differently. And this is where I'm saying we're mature believers in the room. Hold on tight. Ready? Because the Bible isn't always sugar-coated. I want to know Christ, Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings. Not liking that one. And become like him in his death. And so somehow attaining to this, to the resurrection from the dead. Paul thankfully goes on to say, no, I have not already obtained this. I have not arrived at this goal to find joy and pleasure in those aspects of our faith. But I press on. Now you take abide and you turn it into pressing on. To take hold of that which Christ took hold of me for. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of. But one thing I do is forgetting what behind, forgetting my failures, strain towards that which Christ has gained for me. I press towards the goal to win the prize. I press again. This is not abiding. This is work. This is tough stuff. This past week, my wife marched me up Acadia Mountain. At the top of Acadia Mountain, there was a tree. Did it come up? It did. And this tree was a screaming sermon illustration. And my wife goes, you're going to take pictures of that, aren't you? And I went, yep. Are you going to use that Sunday? I went, yep. She goes, why? I said, look at this thing. Look where it's planted. That's a sheer rock face. There's a picture a little closer of the roots. Can we go to the next one? You see those roots? I can envision that at one point in time, there was a nice grassy knoll where this tree started to grow. And this tree was nice and rooted in that soil, and its roots went down and went, ah. Oh. And then all of a sudden, life changed. The winds off the coast of the Atlantic started buffeting that hill and took its soil away. But you know what that tree did? It went down deeper. It went around the rock and found a crevice and dug deeper into that crevice. Look at that root going around that rock. That thing is 8 inches thick and straight down into the next bit of soil it could find. You couldn't budge that tree. One, that's striving. That's pressing into Christ. Two, talk about a solid foundation. That tree ain't going nowhere. It was impressive. This is at the top of Acadia Mountain, and the winds up there in the winter are nasty. I guarantee you that tree's there next year and the next year and the next year, as long as God gives us water and light, because that thing is rooted. So when you think about striving, think about how that tree strove and how it's fighting for its survival and planted on a solid rock. That's what it takes in this culture right now to thrive. We're not going to get away with just plodding along and abiding. Because it's harder than it used to be. Our culture's less welcoming of our faith than it used to be. Seeking this relationship And abiding in Christ is going to take effort. It's going to take bearing down. In this day, our culture rejects that. In this day, our culture doesn't have any time for abiding. And in this day, our culture has no time for our religion whatsoever. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt is kind of what our culture's theory is on religion. Don't like what it says, don't like the negative parts that it is, don't like it. And they know enough about it to reject it. Before you even speak, they know enough about it to say, no thanks. Tasted that a little bit, don't want it. We've earned that as a faith. We've been a no culture, we've earned it. Spruce Lake exists to point people towards Christ in a culture that says no thanks. And I do not know that evangelism, as we have it defined these days, is ever going to work again in the U.S. culture. Defined as preaching and teaching over a pulpit or to someone on a street corner or so forth, I think it will just turn them off. I think it turns some of us off. The reality of it is our culture doesn't want our religion, therefore abiding in Christ is an anti or against culture decision to do these days. So how are we ever going to reach people for Christ? How are we ever going to find a purpose or a way to say to the world, Jesus is the answer. I know you don't see him, but he's the answer. This passage actually has the answer to bear fruit. And you're going, wait a minute. I thought that is saving lives for Christ and, you know, getting people to accept. What if we look at bearing fruit differently? What if we look at the fruit in this passage not being saving people or evangelism, but the fruit in this passage being the change that the adverse situations we're placed in over life can magnify in our own lives? We often talk about the changes that show up and we see in a mature believer as the fruit of the Spirit being shown or seen within them. Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. If you follow my thought process, evangelism isn't going to work in a culture that tasted it and knew it and has a t-shirt that says, I don't want it. Maybe this is how we reach them. Maybe we show them the fruit of the Spirit that's been developed in us through the culture and the burdens that we've had to bear through the days of our countercultural life as something that's attractive to them. Have you ever known a person that you just wanted to be near because they just had these qualities? They had these characteristics that were hard to argue with. They were nice. They seemed to care about you. When something came up, their response was kind. Or at least, it was meaning to be kind and headed in the right direction. They were gentle with their adversaries. These characteristics are the fruit of the Spirit. And if we are bearing, as our passage says, much fruit, not in the works that we're doing for Christ, but in the characteristics of who we become, of who the hardships that we're struggling through force us to show, if we're doing it with Christ, I think they'll be attracted to us. I think they'll come to us instead of us having to convince them to come to them or to come to us. Isn't this how Christ led? Isn't this how he walked this earth? Isn't this what he did? If you think about his journey here, it is how he ministered. And in fact, 1 John 2:6 says this, he who says, I know him, but disobeys my commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps this word in him, truly love for God is perfected. By this, we may be sure that we are, that he is in, that, I'll try that again. By this, we may be sure that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought to walk in the very same walk that Christ walked. He who says he abides in him should walk in the same way that Christ walked. If we're bearing the fruits of the Spirit and we're walking as Christ walked, they'll be attracted. How did Christ walk? Let's think about the Bible stories of Sunday school that show us how Christ walked. Let's start with the simple one. Let the little children come unto me. The disciples were chasing them away. And he just wanted them to come close. Let them sit on my lap. I've got time for them. He was gentle with them. He cared for them. Let's think about the other Bible stories that come to mind. Who touched my garment? Remember this one? A lady was bleeding and just didn't want to get close, but she just thought, if I'd touch him. And he didn't rebuke her. He didn't chastise her. He said, your faith has healed you. The reality of it is Christ walked the walk. He walked in this gentleness. He walked in the fruit of the Spirit. I'll give you water that you'll never thirst again. You remember this story? A Jewish man should never have been at that well, let alone talking to a woman, let alone talking to that woman. Five husbands down, one she's living with, not her husband. This is not the woman you hang out with at the well. Christ was gentle and kind and offered living water to her. In the crux of his worst moment, today we'll be in paradise together. Right? Today we'll be in paradise together. The criminal on the other cross, who had no right to claim Christ, who had no right to claim salvation, in effect had been convicted of a crime worthy of death, but in his moment said, Lord. And Christ had mercy on him, and fruits of the Spirit were shown. Abiding and striving to walk as he walked, straining towards his way of life, being with Jesus as Jesus walked on this earth, is attractive to our world. They are attracted to true relationship. They don't want our religion, but they want whatever that is. And if you're in relationship with them long enough or close enough, they'll ask. And they'll know it's Jesus. If you walk in the manner he walked, with the relationship with the Creator, they'll ask what that is. Paul prayed for the Colossians in Colossians 1 verses 9 through 12, and he prayed this. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, through all the wisdom and understanding that the Holy Spirit gives. So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his rich, glorious might, so that you may have the endurance and the patience and be giving joyfully thanks to the Father. Paul writes to him, I've been praying for the church this. What was he praying? Summarize. May God do these things in you. May he give you knowledge of his will. May he give you wisdom from the Spirit, that you might bear good fruit in your works, that you will be strengthened by his might so you may have the endurance and the patience for these days ahead. Abiding in Christ is our answer. Abiding in Christ is the answer to thriving in the countercultural world we're in. Abiding in Christ might look like our roots bearing down on a solid rock and trying to hold on tighter. But this prayer might be the way to start for yourself and for the ones you love every day. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We have continually asked God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. Though knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives us, so that you might live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all his power, according to his glorious might, that you may have the endurance and patience it takes to be joyful and thankful to our Father. Abiding in Christ is our answer to thriving in this world. It's a messed up world. It's not going to be easy. But abiding in Christ is not only our answer. Abiding in Christ and walking the way he walked is the answer to reaching others as well. If they see you having that relationship, if you are having that relationship with others around you, showing the fruit of the Spirit, it is an undeniable faith that they will come after. I pray that we take this prayer and we pray it for ourselves, our children, our families, and our churches, that God would give us the power and strength through his great glorious power to endure what's ahead. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity of sharing today. Thank you for these verses and these passages that you've left us with over the years to give us hope, to point us towards you, to share us with strength. Lord, it's your will and your strength that holds us up. Give us the endurance and strength for the days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.